Welcome to a Talk Nation radio special, an update on the U.S. ship to Gaza, the Audacity of Hope.
The struggle does not end today. Even though we do not sail today, we may not sail tomorrow, we may not sail day after tomorrow, but one day, soon, we will get to Gaza. But we need your support. We need your solidarity.
Spokespersons for the American ship that was part of Gaza Flotilla 2 say they've been forced to give up their fight to make it to Gaza. They say the Greek government's willingness to serve as an enforcer for Israel's naval blockade of Gaza has made it impossible for their boat to sail, and so, reluctantly, they're now headed home. There have been protests all over the world at embassies and government offices, as well as prominent locations in towns and cities, as various groups have been speaking out in solidarity with the flotilla movement. Journalist Dar Jamail is also reporting in Al Jazeera that on Friday, July 8th, hundreds of pro-Palestinian activists plan to fly to Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion Airport in a display of solidarity with Palestinians living in the occupied territories. The so-called fly-in will involve at least 500 people, and more are joining. Organizers say they're fed up with living within the confines imposed by Israel of having to always deny that they're visiting friends and family in Palestine. Among those interviewed for Dar Jamail's piece in Al Jazeera was Professor Mazen Kumsia, who has strong ties with Connecticut after years of teaching at Yale University. A Palestinian and a Catholic, he's long struggled to try to visit friends and family or travel throughout the region. Kumsia is now the international media spokesperson for the Welcome to Palestine campaign in the West Bank. We reached Connecticut activist Gail Corey Tansing on board the Audacity of Hope, which by then had been forced back to the Greek port of Piraeus. She explained that they had just begun their journey when Greek Coast Guard personnel, plus six armed commandos, forced them to return and then arrested the ship's captain, John Klusmer, who was held for several days, then released Tuesday. This is the voice of John Klusmer as he tried to talk with Greek authorities.
Our paperwork is in order. We've been inspected. We've had surveyors. This is seaworthy. There's no problem.
They told me you have many observations. You are not seaworthy.
They can call. They can call Delaware and talk to the officials there that this is documented in Delaware. The paperwork is in order. I am following the law. My paperwork is in order.
All of the passengers, including Anne Wright, are fine, and there are recordings of their voices at various places. We'll put them at Talk Nation Radio's website. You can also go to The Guardian and YouTube, as well as Twitter, U.S. Boat to Gaza. Again, passengers on board the various boats that were trying to make it to Gaza say they're now beginning their journey home, but they say they'll continue to work to try to lift Israel's criminal siege of Gaza and end the Israeli occupation. This as the Obama administration and U.S. State Department under Secretary of State Hillary Clinton continue to issue what amount to meaningless requests to the Israeli government that they stop pushing Palestinians out of their homes, crushing the homes, and then building new settlements, which are typically massive apartment complexes.
We will not give up on breaking that blockade. What's happened here and the Greek government stalling these boats, it's just tiny. We'll continue. We will keep pushing, pushing.
We're unarmed civilians. Unarmed civilians.
Please don't hurt us. We're not here to hurt anybody.
We are not hurting anyone. We will never hurt anyone. We are peaceful, non-violent people that just want to go to Gaza. We have a seaworthy vessel. It's a wonderful Greek ship with modifications so that we can go all the way to Gaza.
On the top of this boat, and it's to remind us that we challenge our own government. And while we may be challenging your government because we want to leave your beautiful islands to go to help the people of Gaza, it's this flag here that we are saying to ourselves. And we don't like the policies of our own government on Gaza and the West Bank. And it's no disrespect to you, but we just must go to Gaza. It's our responsibility.
does not respond to the actual one. The type of the vessel, the hours, navigation are not mentioned in the certificate of the vessel.
I asked Gail Corey Tensing to fill us in on events off the coast of Greece that forced them to return to port.
We actually left the port, Piraeus, last night at around 4:45. We were very jubilant when we left. We got out about maybe 2.5 miles, and a Greek Coast Guard vessel approached us and actually stopped us. There was a standoff in the ocean in the Aegean Sea for a couple of hours, and conversation between our captain, John Kruzmeier, and the captain of the Coast Guard. The standoff ended when our captain decided to turn back after being threatened with being boarded by the Coast Guard people. During the conversation, our captain refused to turn back during the standoff, and so the Coast Guard called in a Zodiac full of commandos that were immediately dubbed into turtles because we were just all in black and they had, you know, helmets and masks and assault rifles, basically. One of them went down on his knees and assumed a position to shoot. But, you know, really, they weren't into it. Their hearts were not into it. And they ended up sort of, these commando guys sort of standing around on this Zodiac boat in a very relaxed manner while this banter went on between our captain and the captain of the Coast Guard. And finally, when they threatened to board our boat, Captain Kruzmeier decided to, rather than, you know, allow that kind of escalation and possibility of us passengers being harmed, decided to turn around. So we came back. They escorted us back to a military compound on the port of Piraeus, which is an enormous port, one of the biggest ports in the world, and ancient. And so we're in this military compound, and the boat is under arrest, basically, and the crew members are detained on the boat. They're not allowed to leave the boat. Passengers can leave the boat and actually can come back to the boat as long as we, you know, have our passports. The Coast Guard military people who were guarding us were given a list of passengers and passport numbers, and so we're allowed to come and go. Not so for the crew members. This morning, Captain Kruzmeier went to court with our attorney, our Greek attorney, who's an expert in marine law, and the court process is quite different here than it is in America. And he was detained then. He was detained, and he is in a police station. He was arrested. We have not yet received an English translation of the arrest warrant, nor have we received the English translation of the report of the inspection of our boat that took place last Monday, June 27th, I believe. Now, just to jump back a bit, we were supposed to leave Greece or Gaza on the Thursday, I think it was June 24th or 23rd, we were to be on our way. A day before our departure, the Greek government received an anonymous complaint claiming that our boat was not seaworthy. This complaint later turned out to be filed by an organization called the Israel Center for Law in Israel. Same people who filed a frivolous lawsuit, not against people, but against the boat, just a week before we were leaving New York. This, at first, anonymous complaint by someone who had never seen the boat and had never been on the boat was given enormous weight by the Greek government. And so they have ensnared us in this bureaucratic snafu with paperwork for the last week. They didn't give us the report until yesterday. Actually, they didn't give it to us yesterday, but the captain of the Coast Guard vessel was reading it out to us as our captain was having this dialogue with him during the standoff. But as I said, we haven't received the English translation of that yet, but it pretty much trumps up things such as, well, you have two generators and one wasn't being used, but one actually was being used, or trumped up claims about we don't have enough safety equipment like fire extinguishers when we have tons of fire extinguishers and life, more than enough life jackets for everyone. The crux of the matter is this is a pleasure vessel. It's not a business vessel or cargo vessel. It's traveling under an American flag that's registered in Delaware. And in fact, the Greek authorities have no authority whatsoever to even inspect the boat. Nevertheless, we went along with their demand for an inspection and allowed them to inspect the boat. Captain Kruzmeier is in prison. We've learned that they're keeping him there until Tuesday when he appears in court again in front of another prosecutor. We're not quite sure of what the process is exactly. More importantly, we have not received an English translation of the charges against him, so we're really not sure what they are. We're really not even sure if he's actually been arrested or if he's being detained without an arrest. So we're organizing action alerts. We understand that there have been demonstrations already in front of the Greek embassy. We're going to be organizing some actions in front of the Israeli and American embassies, because all of this is the handiwork of the American and Israeli governments to stop the U.S. boat to Gaza and to stop the international flotilla. They were determined to stop us, and apparently they have stopped our boat. Other boats are still out there with the possibility of taking the journey. Although two of the boats were sabotaged last week, which is one of the reasons why our captain wanted to get us out of there. There was an order when the complaint was filed by the Israel Center for Law. We were told that we were not to leave the port. We did leave the port regardless of that police order. He felt that it was more important to get us out of there because of the potential danger of sabotage to our boat. Passengers on the boat took shifts every night. We stayed up all night in shifts monitoring the boat with flashlights, you know, looking into the water to make sure nobody was going down there and doing stuff to our boat. But the Irish boat and the Greek, Norwegian, and Swedish boat were both sabotaged last week. The shafts to the rudders were very, very badly damaged in such a way that if they had gone out to sea, the potential was really for the passengers to die. The damage was so devastating.
Just explain the timing. You left briefly, and then the Greek authorities, the Coast Guard from Greece, stopped you, after which they called in the commandos?
Well, that happened yesterday when we left. We actually started on our journey, and we were stopped after we had gone about 2.5 miles. And there was, at first, there was a Greek Coast Guard boat, and then they called in this Zodiac boat with 6 commandos on it, heavily armed and, you know, ready to board us. But as I said, that was avoided.
How many people are on the Audacity of Hope?
Around 36 passengers and 5 crew members. Most of us are on the boat. We're docked at this military compound in Piraeus. The boat, as I said, has been impounded, sort of like being under arrest. The crew members are not allowed to leave the boat. We've been in touch with the American Embassy. The American Embassy is required to visit American citizens who are detained or imprisoned by foreign nations. However, the American Embassy personnel that we contacted said, oh, yes, we're supposed to visit, but sometimes that doesn't happen for a couple of days. Now, we have, let's see, John Kruzmeier, our captain, is American, and we have one of the crew members is American, and the American Embassy is just not responding as they should. One of the crew members is two of the other crew members are British citizens. The British Embassy has been called, and they're on their way. They said, hello, we'll be there in half an hour. This is what the American Embassy should be doing. They should be protecting and advocating for their citizens, and they're just not doing it.
Gail Corey-Tunsing, tell us more about your situation now. We interviewed Libor Koznar recently. Just give us an update on the Connecticut passengers and where they are right now, and whether or not they're all going to continue now to try to go to Gaza.
Right. When we were brought to this compound, this military compound last night, some passengers did leave. Libor Koznar left. A large majority of the passengers decided to stay on the boat, stay with the boat, and stay in solidarity with our captain and our crew members who are seriously under restraint, basically, while our captain is in prison and the crew members are being detained without any charges, I might add, detained on this boat. And we have 4 guards. You know, we're on the boat, we're docked. We can get off the boat and go onto the dock, but there are walls, there are gates with razor wire, and there are these 4 guys, Greek guys, military Coast Guard guys, who are either protecting us or guarding us. And actually, when we talk to them, you know, the working guys, like the military Coast Guard who are guarding us know very well and say to us, you know, we're doing our job. This is all political. This is Israel. This is America. And in fact, you know Max Blumenthal, who has a website?
Yes.
Apparently he called the Greek embassy, I'm not sure exactly where, maybe in San Francisco, and the Greek embassy person said, why are you complaining to us? The Americans told us to do this. And there's all kinds of evidence of American and Israeli complicity. 2 nights ago, Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, thanked his good friend, and that's a quote, the Greek prime minister Papandreou, you know, for keeping the boat from sailing. So, you know, the culprits here are the Americans and the Israelis. There's no doubt about that.
Gail Corey Tonsing of Connecticut, while still on board the Audacity of Hope, forced back into the dock at Greece, and she's now en route home. We've heard from Libor Kozhnar, and he cited failures of the Israeli propaganda machine and explained that the group has been, quote, sailing the digital flotilla, pointing out that Israel's tactics had led to widespread criticism. During our recent interview with Libor Kozhnar, he mentioned that a former Israeli Air Force pilot would be on board the flotilla. Let's listen to a recording made by the pilot, Yontanin Shapira, and then we'll hear again from Libor Kozhnar, who is founder of the group Art and Struggle.
I'm right next to the Audacity of Hope, and we are getting ready to sail to Gaza in a few days as part of the flotilla Stay Human. One of the reasons that I decided to volunteer and be part of this important project is that my name, Yonatan, is actually named after my great-grandmother, Yente, that was killed in the Holocaust almost 70 years ago. And I was always told that it happened because the world was silent. So obviously I feel I cannot be silent when horrible things are being done in my name. I want to say one more thing about the name of this flotilla, Stay Human. I know that there are pilots and soldiers and Navy SEALs and officers and commandos that are now training and preparing to attack us. Don't do that. This is wrong. Don't be part of another massacre in the high seas. Stay human. Look at yourself in the mirror. Look at your kids' eyes. Look at my eyes. And refuse to be part of something so wrong. All we want to do is to stop the occupation, stop this illegal blockade, and bring a better future to everyone who lives in this sad piece of land. So refuse in order to stay human.
My name is Libor Kozhnar, and I'm a passenger of the Audacity of Hope, part of the International Freedom Flotilla. We are sailing in solidarity with Palestinians, Israelis, and internationals who oppose the occupation nonviolently. We are going from international waters directly to Palestinian waters. We will never enter Israeli waters. Attacking and hijacking our boat would be an act of piracy on the Israeli side. As an artist, I'm hoping to reconnect with another Palestinian artist and stage an art show while we are in Gaza. I also believe that through the arts and culture, we can bring down all the walls and build the bridges among communities instead.
You're listening to a Talk Nation radio special. I'm Dory Smith. We were able to reach one of the organizers of the U.S. ship to Gaza, Medea Benjamin. She's still in Athens working out some of the details on where the Audacity of Hope and other ships will go next. Medea Benjamin is co-founder of Global Exchange and Code Pink. Medea Benjamin, welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't you just fill us in on the status of all of the ships, where they are right now and where all the passengers are?
Most of the boats are still being held by the Greek authorities. One has been given permission to leave its dock, but to go to another port in Greece. There's still a ban on all ships leaving from Greece to go to Gaza. And most of the passengers have been leaving. It's been 2 weeks now that they've been either in Athens or somewhere else around Greece trying to set sail. And many people have to go back to their jobs and their families. Those who have stayed behind, like myself, are still trying to pressure both the Greek government as well as our own government to free our boats.
We're reading here now a story in The Raw Story. This is a quote from Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman of Israel. He said, quote, "I welcome all the efforts that have been made to stop the flotilla," adding, "the success is the fruit of intensive contacts with states in the region and the international community." He's crediting diplomatic efforts. Now, those delays and setbacks open up a big can of worms, though, don't they? I mean, you now have an attorney who's been representing the captain. You have a court proceeding. You have all kinds of things that have yet to fall out from this journey and from the Greeks stopping you.
Yes, including lawsuits that we are looking into against the Greek government, because we really don't understand how the Greek government can get away with saying that ships are not allowed to sail out of here. I mean, we have even said, okay, let us go and we'll go to Turkey, or we'll go to Egypt, or we'll go to Tunisia, or we'll go to Spain, or wherever. And they said, no, they have our boat impounded in a Coast Guard dock where we can't even have journalists come in to visit us, where they have a list of the names of the passengers and only let those people in. So what gives the Greek government the right to do this? There is such a thing as international maritime law that is being blatantly violated by the Greek government. So we're looking into lawsuits about that, as well as several other ways we think that our rights have been violated. Of course, there's also the issue of our government not doing its job. Our consular services here are supposed to look out for the interests of U.S. citizens. It took 4 days before they would go to see our Captain John Klusmeyer in prison, where for the first 24 hours he was not given food or water, did not even have a bed to sleep on. He was on a bench. He was being treated in horrible conditions, and we flooded the embassy with calls asking for their help, and they didn't help. So I think there's a lot of issues to still be sorted out, and I don't think it's going to be all that pretty when we start discovering more how the Israelis and the U.S. have pressured the Greek government. And we sure hope that there are some WikiLeaks types out there who will come up with some of the internal documents that can shed some light on how this all happened. Because at this point, we have to do a lot of conjecturing about the role of the U.S. But I feel certain that more proof will come out to light.
We'll hear the rest of that interview with Medea Benjamin of Global Exchange and Code Pink next time. This is David Rovix with his song about the Mavi Marmara, a ship boarded last year by Israeli commando forces as it tried to sail to Gaza as part of a freedom flotilla. 9 people were killed, dozens wounded when Israelis opened fire at point-blank range. A UN report described the Israeli operation as disproportionate, with unnecessary and incredible violence and an unacceptable level of brutality.
In 48, they were driven out at the point of a machine gun. Families fled in fear to Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. They fled around the globe, firmly held in terror's grip. And about 1 million refugees ended up in the Gaza Strip. In 1967, the IDF moved in, and the refugees in Gaza became refugees again. Settlers took their farmland, soldiers took the ports, and the people were surrounded by military forts. In 2007, they cut them off completely. No access to the borders, no access to the sea. The world began to see this unavoidable stamp. The most crowded place on earth was now a concentration camp. Israeli jet fighters bombed Gaza from the air, and they kept out the supplies needed to rebuild and repair. They kept out the convoys of humanitarian aid, anemic children going hungry, crushed and burned in bombing raids from around the world. Good people tried to get across the border to the other side. Almost all of them were turned away, deported back to Turkey, Jordan, France, the USA. They were barred from ever coming back. Adam and Huwaida decided on a different tack. They loaded up a boat, managed to get through. That's when activists in Istanbul decided what to do. Armed with food and wheelchairs and prosthetic limbs for victims of the bombing raids to wear, they packed cement by the ton. They had a few kitchen knives, but not a single gun. They were determined to reach the bay.
to break the siege of Gaza and not be turned away. As they left Turkish waters, everybody wished them well. As for what would happen next, only the apartheid state could tell. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone. 700 people on board this Turkish ferry. They were 60 miles from the shore, out in the open sea, in international waters, with no plans for turning back. That's when Netanyahu told his soldiers to attack. They came down from helicopters, fired guns from Zodiacs. They shot some people in their heads and others in their backs. The captain raised a white flag high into the air, but the soldiers kept on shooting beneath the floodlights' glare. The soldiers kept on shooting. It was a free fire zone. So many dead and wounded, just how many isn't known. So many dead and wounded, blood flowing on the floor. The soldiers kept on shooting 60 miles from the shore. Medics tried to treat the wounded, all they could do was watch them bleed. The soldiers wouldn't let them get the urgent help they needed. Mass troopers held their hostages, the Navy towed the ship, just for trying to sail to the Gaza Strip. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone. Every laptop, every camera and cell phone. This is what Goliath does to those who dare to throw a stone. The ghost of the Exodus is shouting at the sky, but Netanyahu isn't listening. He's just watching people die. For days nobody knew just what happened on that boat, because everyone was held in jail and dead men do not float. All the world will remember what happened on that night, and to end the siege of Gaza, more will go and join the fight. All aboard the Rachel Corrie, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Rachel Corrie, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone.
Singer and songwriter David Rovix with his song The Mavi Marmara. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program is produced in Storrs, Connecticut, and syndicated with Pacifica Network. Our website is talknationradio.org. Our music is by Fritz Heed.